21st of January, 1999, Alan Seymour speaking to Mr. George K. of Ramsbottom. You were saying that your father used to go around collecting money for doctors, was it?
Well, it's before the health service, isn't it? And if you had a doctor, you had to pay. That was it, wasn't it?
Mm.
And, he got this part-time job Thursday and Friday and Saturday morning, going to different houses where people with money to the doctor, picking up shilling, 2 shillings and so on. And I think he got a fair old commission. I forgot what it was, it wasn't the most. But I well remember, there were 3 doctors, Dr. Crompton, you know, through Ramsbottom as you went to Stubbins.
Yes.
There's a driver up there, a sort of a gatehouse. That was his surgery.
Just at the corner
Dr. Crompton.
At the corner of the marketplace. Near the...
It's nearer, across from the Wesleyan Chapel.
Yes.
We're going to demolish, aren't
we? Yes.
Or renovate.
Yeah, the end of Ramsbottom Lane, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think it's Ramsbottom Lane. Not so far down, and then it goes into Stubbins
Lane. Lane, yes.
Yeah. But there's Dr. Crompton there.
So that was his surgery, do you say?
Yes.
That gatehouse?
Yes.
Hmm.
For people to go, hey, who needed the doctor, or to see him, really.
Yeah.
And I've been there as a little lad. I remember going there and my mother took me out and had it what they call the goiter neck.
Oh, yes.
Swollen, isn't
it? It swells up, yes.
And he said, I need to take this medicine for a long time and that to keep it up my teeth. That's all I remember about it.
Mm.
It cleared up. But at the same time, you know where the police station is around now?
Yeah, near the gardens.
Yeah,
your St. Paul's
well, it's almost connected to that bank, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, the bank building was twice that size.
Oh, was it?
And that was a gents' outfitter, Wilkinson and Lancaster. And in the middle of the building was a alleyway, you might say, from front to back. And at one point was steps up the stairs to the local independent Labour Party, or down another passage to a small office, and that's where Dr. Crompton's secretary was. And that's where I used to go when my mother had half a crown to spare off the bill. I don't know what they're in, that doctor, there were only 3 doctors, I remember. Dr. Ford, Dr. Laura, this place right across from the top of Kay Brown.
Ah, yes.
And, carried on in the doctor's place until after the war a while.
Was that
the Dr. Glowester?
Ah.
And I think he died.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that the doctor's at near Cair Brow, would that be the house that's there now?
Yes, that's still there.
Yes.
Robin House now.
Yeah.
Across from the top of Cair Brow.
Yes.
And Dr. Charles, he lived not far up on the other side. There's a few detached houses, isn't there? And they call Barwood Mount or something.
Yes, yeah.
By one of those.
Yes.
Might be the bottom one.
Hmm.
But, Dr. Crompton, it was said at one time, in bad weather, ice and snow, he'd gone up part of, you know, Roston Road? He'd gone up part of Roston Road.
Up the Rake, you mean?
Pardon?
Going up the Rake?
Well, it's, as you go up Car Street.
Yeah.
Turning to Callan Street, the Roston Road was right up and joined on where if you went round Carr.
Yes.
It's a steep.
Mm.
And he was known to have, on a morning when he couldn't get his car up there, he's gone up, I don't know how far, it won't be far, but he's got down on his hands and knees to see a patient.
Wow.
That was a story it went round. Mm. Probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's remembering that?
Yes.
It's a memory for him, isn't it?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember much more about it.
No.
People just have to have doctors, and I think doctors wouldn't they've been lucky to get paid properly.
Mm. So did you only pay the money after you've had some treatment? You didn't, or did you pay a regular amount?
No. No, it was off a bill when I said something.
Right.
Yeah. It wouldn't be a big bill.
No.
Less than £10, certainly.
Mm.
But a lot of half crowns.
Yes.
£10 is an eighth of a pound.
Yes.
If you've forgotten that.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
There was an eighth of a pound, wasn't there?
Mm. Well, £10 would be a massive bill in those days, wouldn't it? It'd be quite a few weeks' wages.
Yeah, well, they used to have another thing about those days. They used to say a railway porter on the station. His wage was about
£1.50
a week. £1.50
a week, yes.
It wouldn't be much more. If that wasn't true,
£10,
it wouldn't be much more.
A £10 bill from the doctor would come as a shock to him, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I don't think the doctor overcharged.
No.
No suggestion of that. I think I don't remember it else.
So what?
There just wasn't one.
No. What, did you ever, you wanted to go into hospital?
No, I've never been in hospital in those days.
So what would have been the arrangement there? You went into hospital. Would they charge you for the care and the time?
My mother did break her leg before the war.
Yeah.
No, it was after the war. Before the war. Just. And I've no idea about the cost of it.
No.
But she went into very infirmary. And then into some places on shore for to recuperate.
Yes.
Got a role in life was more important than it is now.
Mm.
I would think. But then there's always the cottage hospital at Ramsbottom.
Yes.
Do you know that?
Yes,
down, not all.
Not all then, yeah.
Yeah, it still is a hospital of some sort, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it is, yes. Yeah. But that, who would own that then in those days if there wasn't a health? That was built, was it by the Aitken family?
Yes.
So would they just put...
Well, I don't know whether they
sponsored it, perhaps.
They certainly... It wasn't said that they ran it. I think they provided it. I think maybe it came under the Columbia. Whatever, I don't know, but my guess is the local authority has been the only source of income.
Mm. So was there not any schemes where you paid, say, a penny a week out of your...
I was just going to mention penny a week.
Out of
that's the only one I've ever known.
Yes.
I don't know any penny. Oh, yes, there were. Private insurance, maybe.
Mm.
There was a car club. Do you ever hear about the car club?
Oh, yeah.
Also known as the Dead List.
Ah. Is that a burial society, was it?
Yes.
Yes.
I pay once a year in the old Collins Hall around Denver Street. But I don't remember any sick pay, death benefit, that's all.
Mm. So this penny a week that would be taken out of your wages, would that be something that was organised by the employer, perhaps? Or would that go into some general local fund?
I don't think.
You don't know?
I don't remember the employers have shown much interest.
No.
I wonder if it was trade union.
Mm, could be.
But then they weren't as strong then
as
they became. Trade unions.
Do you think people perhaps were members of things like the Odd Fellows and the Buffaloes, friendly societies like that, more in those days, for the benefits that they might...
Could well be.
...that they might get?
Because Buffaloes, they also met the Odd Fellows all, I think.
Mm.
Never any connection with them. Oh, lots of people were Buffaloes.
Mm. They were mainly... societies to help that's you when you were in need, weren't they?
Yes. The Masonic was a completely different cup of tea.
That's right.
Nobody knew who were Masons.
No, it's a bit more secret that, isn't it?
Yeah. That's about it, I think.
Mm.
They might have had, well, they were charitable towards their own members, weren't they?
Yes, and they still are, aren't they? They have the home at Longside Road there, don't they?
I expect that's a nice place.
For retired masons, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah, they looked after.
Mm. And what about when you were at school? Did they have a nurse that came around to see you at school?
Came around.
And a dentist, perhaps?
I don't remember a dentist.
No.
Maybe an old visit, which I forgot. Well, the nurse came around there to inspect your hair.
All
right. For nits.
Right. Yeah, something they're short of these days, isn't it?
It could be.
Well, it's a problem.
I've read about it recently.
Yeah, it's in the news quite a lot. And I see on the market last week they were selling one of these herb,
it's a terrible thing.
Selling some special.
They're going backwards.
They were selling some special remedy for them at one of these herb stalls last week.
Yeah. I can't think of any.
So, was there a dentist in Ramsbottom in those days?
Oh, yes. Private dentist.
Yeah.
Ampson. It's something to do with the housing. Now, in the centre of Ramsbottom, the traffic lights, it's on that corner of Carr Street and Bourne Street.
Oh, right, yes.
That was his place, the front door there.
So they were the council offices in later time, weren't they?
Yeah, something like that. The Arrow and the local authority aren't there. Somewhere.
Still are, yes.
But I heard Bobby Hampson and his father, a dentist before then. And it has been said about his father standing at the door with a blood-stained apron. but his son Bob, he was a much more refined child than that.
Mm.
And his waiting room and his dentist's room. Immaculate.
Yeah.
So were they. Well, another dentist, Alan Ashworth. I think he will be somewhere where the Trustee Savings Bank was in Bolton Street, Ramsbottom. It's something different now, isn't it?
Mm.
The first one on the left, past Callender Street.
Oh, yes.
Mm. Alan Ashworth. And just before the Catholic Church and the priest house next to it, going from, you know where the Catholic Church is?
Yes, yes, St. John's.
And then there's one or two houses there, and there's a dentist there, Alan Ashworth.
Mm.
And that's all I know.
There's a dentist still, probably still in the same surgery there.
No, I think it's.
Is it?
It's. What do you mean? It's one further up.
Is it?
In the Catholic Church, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Yes.
Yes, it's one further down.
Right, yeah.
Hmm. That's all.
And did people go regularly to the dentist, do you think?
Not for attention.
No.
You all right if it's Tuesday.
Just have one taken out.
That's all, yes.
Hmm.
Cash on the nail, I think.
Was it, yeah.
I remember my dad taking it one way. I was a little lad to have a tooth out. I think the dentist gave me sixpence. Yeah. It probably didn't take much getting out if I was only about 6 years old, would it?
Mm.
If it was like that, I don't know.
You didn't pull it out with the tiny piece of string there, did you?
No.
Passing it to the door,
no.
Did it?
But remember the fellow who married my sister, he'd had his teeth out. And he worked for John Shilton, carriers and farmers, and undertakers too, so he's all. And as a joke, he came down and said he had his teeth out, and he brought them to Shilton's.
Huh?
And they were sheep's teeth he brought.
Big ones.
They were all of us. Yes. Just for a joke. But, a fellow in your distant relative. And he'd had teeth out, and he was poorly. I think he had a lot out.
Yeah.
And he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, these things are coming back, you know. I haven't thought about them for years. But Dr. Lorry said to him, a fool took them out, and a fool had them out. Yeah.
I think probably in those days a lot of good teeth were taken out, weren't they?
Oh, I don't say, yeah.
Whereas these days they tend to leave them in so they can
yeah.
continue to take yeah, on the occupants yeah. to fill them, don't they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did people use much in the way of sort of home remedies for ailments in those days? You know, like nip bone for bruises and that type of
thing? Well, yes. That comes very much. All four of cough mixture. And how it meant, Zambuk, and one that was, we had in our house, Old Ike Stove. Old Ike Stove. In a cardboard, round cardboard box. And I don't know what the word stove means really. Is it, but it's like grease.
Like an ointment,
yeah. Like grease, yeah. yeah.
And, so what did you use that for?
Skin ailment.
It's any kind of spots and boils or something?
I think so, yeah.
And what was the other one? Zambo, did you say?
Zambuk. That was made and sold in shops. I don't remember any more about it. But there was something called Zambuk in the ointment line.
You don't know what that was for, either?
Huh?
You don't know what it was for?
Nothing particular, no.
No.
External use on the body,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it was an internal thing. Fennel. What is fennel? That's a name come back to
me. That's a herb, is it? A plant that grows.
Could it be a fever cure?
Possibly.
Well, yeah. I think that was some nonsense.
Well, there was. Are you thinking of Was it Fennings fever cure?
Could be.
That was in a bottle with poisonous tasting
yeah.
stuff. Wasn't yeah. it? Very very nasty taste.
Yeah. I'm scraping, you know, to remember things.
Yeah.
And. That was just a word. But you're probably right, Fennings. What about cancer little liver pills?
Yes.
And irritables.
Yes,
yes. Well, yeah. No, I don't think they'd be much new. Because there was one, the more modern things were developed.
There was another one called Parkinson's Pink Pills for Pale People.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Paul Beecham's pills.
Yes, of course.
They were on standby, weren't they?
Yeah. And
was the guinea box?
Yeah. But they had, were they by Beecham's, or was it Fenn's? It was that they were in a paper, folded up, sort of quite flat.
Yes.
Probably about, 3 inches by 2 inches.
Yeah.
And then you hold it up carefully.
Yeah.
And did you put it into warm water, or did you put it in the mirror? I think put it in water. In water and stir it
in. I remember something like that, but I've no idea what it was.
I think that was that kind of fever cure or something like that.
Hmm. I don't know what the treatment was for chicken pox, measles, scarlet fever, all these things. Relevant.
Yeah.
Relevant. Relevant. I got the word wrong, I think, there.
Yeah. So you basically just have to go to the chemist and tell them what you've got and hope he'd have something behind the counter before you went to the doctor.
The chemist would make it. Dr. Crompton, I don't know what it was, but he had an extremely good cough bottle. And I remember it now, it was soothing.
Mm-hmm.
It did a sore throat and chest. Dr. Grompton's bottle. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
so would you get that from the chemist?
Yeah.
So could you go to the chemist?
Well, I think, I'm telling lies. You get that from the surgery, I think.
Right.
Because in that little place where he had his, where he met his patients, Mrs. Robinson worked there too, as well as being in his office. The bottom of the street.
Yeah.
And Mr. Robinson has an article published in the society's publication.
Journal, yes.
About her experiences, both with Dr. Crompton, and she also worked in Melby Crossroads Chemist Shop.
Oh, yes.
On the corner at top of the street there. She lived just down there.
Yeah.
She's not here anymore. So she was a cat people.
What was she? Was she a cat? Was she a chemist?
No, she was. She was like, I think originally a scholarship girl. You know that. Many years before the war. Children at the local school could say for the scholarship. And if they qualified, could go to Ardenny Grammar School, or better still, Bury Grammar School.
Yeah.
And I think she originally was a scholarship girl and came into that line of rather more important work than weaving or being a winder on account of her slightly better education.
Yes. Yeah.
That's how it was.
How did the doctors travel around? Did they have motor cars?
Yeah. Dr. Crompton had a chauffeur, Sammy Redmond. He was a very small fella. I don't suppose they paid them much. But he had a chauffeur. I've no doubt that car couldn't get a Ruston Road. No, that's the way it would be. Mm. But he was a chauffeur for years. Dr. Lorry had a chauffeur. He was a coloured man.
Huh?
And he was the first coloured man I ever knew.
Yeah.
I was friendly with a lad over all the kids, you know. We lived just down Stubby Lane there. And this Dr. Lorry and his chauffeur must have been at Dr. Crompton's place on that bottom of that drive there, this car. And we got him bothered for shouting, Black Sambo.
Oh.
Yeah.
First case of racism in Ramsbottom, was it that?
Huh?
The first case of racism in Ramsbottom.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Very unusual though, wasn't it?
It was indeed.
See black man in those days.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the only black man we were aware of, we weren't aware of him then. The professional football cricketer, for Nelson. Leary Constantine.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
and he used to come every week, Monday, Trinity Monday.
Yeah.
It was a holiday around the bottom.
Yeah.
It was annual fixture. He came there with Nelson. A notable one day, because he finished up with the Lord, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He used to shout things at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing's changed, has it? No. Story on the news tonight.
Yeah.
Some little lad in Bury has been. The kids have been teasing him, haven't they? So
indeed.
It's nothing changed.
Yeah. No, not much. Well, I think medicine was like rough and ready. You have to take what you can get. All this.
Yeah.
But Dr. Crompton got another partner. That was Dr. Ford, and he had his place in Edenfield. So, well, of course, I was born in 1916, and of course, the health service didn't come in until after the war, did it?
Oh, no, well, it was 50 years ago last year, wasn't it, that they were celebrating?
Yeah, 1947 would be. But those years from 1940, I was in the army until then, the health service, so I've got no recollection really.
Yeah.
I think there was some suffering then.
Mm.
Unattended suffering.
Yes, there would be, wouldn't there? Things have made a lot of progress on me since those years.
Yeah.
Well, how did you go on with things like ambulances and for taking people to hospital, would they be run by the local authority, do you think, like buses?
Yeah.
Wouldn't get you a bill?
My mother broke her leg. She was taken away in an ambulance. I was working, but I was home when she came back. And a big fella, he was off the bus, and he had been a bus driver. He was called Joe Taylor from Eatonfield. And he carried her into the house.
Yeah.
And there was a good number of steps.
Yeah, upstairs as well.
No, I don't know. carrying out.
Oh, from the street.
From Master Gulf Terrace House.
At Carlton Terrace.
You walked out to the HM.
Yes.
Home and then up into the house.
Yeah.
Oh, need somebody like you to do it today.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. I don't remember an ambulance station.
No.
Not yet. I think St John's Ambulance Brigade was in existence then.
Yes, well, I would think so, yes. What would happen in a case of emergency? Did they have the 999 system in those days? I mean, could you...
Oh, there weren't many people with telephones.
No.
You have to find a phone
find
box.
Find a public phone box.
Yeah. Well, there's police and fire brigade. I'm just blank about the rest of it.
Yeah. So where would the fire station be in those days in Ramsbottom? Would it be near where it is now? Is that a completely new one?
Yeah.
On the way to Stubbins now, isn't it? Or did they have to come from Bury?
No. In the really olden days, probably before my time, when I came on the scene, they had a fire engine in Central Street, near where the British Legion is now.
Oh yes, yeah.
Well, I think without a pump.
Right. So would that be a horse drawn one or a...
Probably, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I think the other fire station after that where the bus station was, just down Stubbins Lane there.
Yeah.
Bus station fire, I'm not sure.
No.
Not sure at all. I can't think where else it was.
No. I suppose that there were only those basic horse-drawn pumps and perhaps even some of the bigger factories might have had them, do you think?
Well, if I'm right in thinking that a fire engine based near the bus station, the trams, you know, I think it would be a mobile one there.
Yeah.
At that time, it wouldn't be horse-drawn.
Where, the place where the bus depot is now, or in recent times, has that always been used as a bus depot? The one on Stubbins Lane?
Is it still there?
Well, no, I think it's gone now.
Oh, I think it is. Yes.
So,
it was built for the trams.
Yeah.
The overhead
The trolley buses, right?
Trolley buses.
Rather than proper trams.
Not trams.
Yes.
And then it became a bus station. And it was enlarged one day.
Yes.
And they got more buses.
Do you remember the trolley buses?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Been on them.
Yeah. Were they on the single decker?
Yes.
Yeah, they were.
Oh, no. They were bone shakers.
Yeah.
I think they were solid tyres.
Was that the end of the line at Stubbins, near the depot?
No, they went to Enfield.
Oh, did they?
I think they went as far as the other end of Enfield.
Oh, up near the church?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they turned around there.
And to Holcombe Brook, was that the end?
Yeah.
Near the...
That was the end, I think.
How nice.
I don't think they went any further.
Oh. So they managed to get under the bridge at Stubbins, all right?
Well, yeah.
It stood on, wasn't it? Yeah.
And they must have been... It had to be lowered.
Yes, being lowered now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they must have gone under it.
It ought to be lowered, yeah.
I think if we could see one now, it would be a small thing.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. What would you smoke here, yeah, wouldn't it? She might be asking.
Down here. Sat behind your chair.
Oh, she's all right.
Yeah, she's snoozing.
I thought she might have been at the back door.
No, she's a bit more lively tonight than usual, isn't she?
Yes.
Yeah, fascinating.
No, the fact that we don't seem to have much to talk about because there was none taking place, isn't it?
Mm. Yes, that's right, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we exhausted that topic then.
Well, there must be a lot more to say about it. But I don't know, of course.
No. Well, the cottage hospital, they're the only one in Ramsbottom, were they, in those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, because Aitken Sanatorium was only for people with TB or something like that.
Yeah, well, I remember Sunday afternoon, if you're anywhere near Oakham Brook End or Edwards, there were many people coming from further afield to visit relatives in the sanatorium.
Oh, yeah. When did it become a sanatorium?
Well, that is an Aitken family, wasn't it?
Yes, but
I don't know.
Was it built as a sanatorium, or was it a private house in a?
I don't think so.
You think it was built as a?
I think it was
a sanatorium. Yes.
I'm not sure. Mm.
So that'll be going back, about the turn of the century or something like that.
Are you all right, Smoke? Do you want to go out?
Surprising that the same family shows how wealthy they must have been for the Aitken family to be the sponsors of both the cottage hospital and the sanatorium.
Yeah. I think they had a man at Farewell Vale, Aitken.
Yes.
Well, then there was one of the Borrett family, Kate Borrett, I think it was £30,000. She left many years ago for public bathing around the body.
Yeah, £30,000.
And that was an enormous sum then. Mm. But when people started, I think this side of the war, people started asking where were the baths and where was the money?
Yes.
Yeah, I think.
Where was
it? The had a lot of sorting out.
Yeah, did they find the money in the end?
Well, they built the baths. I don't think they find that value.
No.
Because I think she left it during about the First World War time.
Yeah.
Kate Borrett.
Yeah. And were the Borretts still living at what's it called? The Cliff, is it called?
The Cliff, yeah.
In Stubbington.
Well, that must have been a tremendous blow, wasn't it? When Richard Borrett, the only son, he was killed.
Yes.
Before Dunkirk, you know.
Yes, was it?
Early on.
Yeah.
Colonel Borrett gave all that land down there to the National Trust, right up to the top road.
Yeah, in memory.
All hugged in there,
In memory of the son. They've now taken over most of the top of the moor, haven't they? The National Trust.
Have they? Yeah.
Yes. All the land that the army took over in recent years is the National Trust land.
Yeah. Taking some up Reddishire.
Yes, have they?
Yes, and then they take some because it borders on the army shooting range.
Yeah.
But I'm not quite clear what it all is, but I thought the nearer the army got their hands on it, the less chance there was of building.
Mm.
They would never build up to shooting range, would they?
No, I don't think so.
Well, there's some building going on down there now.
Oh, is there, yeah?
Yeah. Behind there and arms. Just round with the gallery, the road was down like that. And there were two houses down there. Probably still there. The address there, Oakham Brook.
Oh.
That was their address.
Huh?
But I was told a fellow the other day, and the building falls down now, and they may have given them the same address.
Uh-huh.
And they have lost that just supposition, I don't know.
So, didn't some of the Porritt family move out and go looking at, where was it, St Anne's or Lytham or somewhere over that way?
They might have, but they took on manufacturing at August.
Oh, did it?
Yeah.
What, bought a mill there?
I don't know what it was, but a friend of mine, he went to live there. One or two people experienced employees from these mills went working there and living there.
Yeah.
A friend of mine was called Bernard Shaw.
Really?
He died not so long ago. Yeah, we used to play tennis together before the war. He was a member of Holcomb Brook's sports club. Better players than we were from on Ramsbottom Park. But we played together a bit, and strange enough, going abroad in the war, we met on the ship in Vernon. On the SS Ormond, what's it called? He told me subsequently it had been grown up at somewhere near where he lived. Yeah, it was Overston, it was near Barrow, isn't
yes,
it?
Yeah.
And he'd seen them breaking it up.
Oh, yeah.
So they didn't like troop ships.
No.
Too many people on.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't want to be two decks down if anything went wrong. Mm.
So was that your first trip out then?
Yeah. Probably 1942.
Oh.
I had a bad life in the army. I volunteered into the service corps to keep out of the infantry.
Right.
Yeah, because...
So were you only just joining the army then, in 1942?
No, 19th of February 1940.
Right.
I volunteered.
Yeah.
And into the service corps. There weren't all that many people. With driving license, isn't there?
No.
No, not many, not a minute car.
You had a driving license, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah.
So how did you come to have a driving license? Was it through your job?
No, perhaps I mentioned before that from 18 to 23, age, I worked at Crossland and Pistols in Bury, at Heath Bridge. And I worked 11 and a half hours on day. 1 week days, 1 week night, 12 and a half on night, paid straight through. And so I got a good wage. I was always £4.10, £4.12, £4.08. Lots of money then.
Mm.
So I bought a car. It was £35. I got another after. Both 4 days. And coffee was started.
How old would it be? How old was the car when you bought it to get it first?
About 1932, I remember. Yeah. More like a bassinet. Yeah. Nothing much to it. The next one was a big improvement. They were both second hand.
Yeah. Oh yes, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you said it was like a bassinet. I mean, it was very, very small.
Very fragile. Not much to it.
Were there two seats, you know, four?
Four.
Four seats?
Oh, yeah. I think it was only two doors.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have dealt a bit with the first one. It burned oil as much as it did petrol.
Yeah.
Yeah. Engines weren't like that then. That's why I changed it. Quicks it was in Bury.
Yeah.
And I went to Old Trafford for the next one. But they do get back on me. But I was something on there. But at that time, where the old mill is, that restaurant, it was Burkwistle's Oil Works. And I used to go there for 5 gallon drum of oil. It was like you could drive up to a loading platform, the steps high. They'd bring a 5 gallon drum out. Wasn't much. 7 or 6 high.
So it burnt so much oil you had to buy it in. It burnt so much oil that you had to buy it in
large
quantities.
I needed plenty of oil.
Yeah.
Yeah. But then oil cars used oil then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to say something. I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, about Crossland and Pistol. So hope to get in a car. Apart from the hours I spent at work, I had two bus rides to get there and two bus rides back.
Yeah.
So it was no hardship to me to go to the army.
No.
I didn't mind.
Yeah.
And formed a transport company. 3-ton leppers they were. And until they formed the company, I nearly went to Norway. And then we got kicked out of Norway quickly, didn't we?
Mm.
And then they sent, from this training place at Mansfield, they sent a few of us to Worthing. And they must just have picked an initial. We all had the same initial. King, K, Kennedy, Camille, somebody else. And that next morning, the Sergeant Major came out. They were going right away to France. He said, you can't come with us, you haven't had an embarkation leave. So, I missed out going to France. I would have been at Dunkirk all right. I must have been captured.
Yeah.
I met a fellow who was a prisoner all the war. Fancy that,
eh?
So from there, I think I went to Margate, and then to Redhill in Surrey, after a trip to Abergavenny in between. They didn't seem to know what to do with. And then to Redhill in Surrey, and then to Hazelmere, where we got lorries. And from there I went to Perth in Scotland. And I was there, Perth, on an ammunition dump roundabout. And it was a good life to me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we came on the way going abroad, came to Rochdale.
Oh.
And it was evidently the system into Rochdale and then from there to Liverpool.
Oh.
So into North Africa. Then Sicily. I've got a lot of malaria.
Mm-hmm.
Have I said this before too?
Yes, I think you said
I don't want to say the same things over again. A miserable time, well, you won't know, will you?
No, that's good.
Everything in darkness.
Yes. I suppose it took a long time for life to get back to normal afterwards, did it?
Well, yeah, because I wanted to go back to Crossland and big storms.
No.
So I threw myself unemployed and I didn't know anything. I wasn't about to hold you at that time, but I didn't want to stay in the army. And I could have gone back, but I wouldn't.
Mm.
Oh dear. I kicked around quite a bit. One or two jobs in warehouses in Manchester. And then I fell out. I was working in a warehouse in Morley Street. And then they were closing down, and a fellow called Davis came. He wanted to take the premises on and meet with it. And the owners found out that he was Jewish. They wouldn't let him have it.
Mm-hmm.
But he still employed me. He had a small room in I think it's Oldham Street, Manchester, Hilton Street. There, and he had a small factory in Cheetham Hill, and then he put these things together and bought a place in Upper Brook Street. He manufactured raincoats mainly, and he called his warehouse manager. I was the only one in the warehouse, but that's how it was. But I'm very unsettled. I wasn't married, you know.
No.
And then I somewhere.
Did you have to travel into Manchester every day then? From
I
see it.
Caught the train.
Straight on the train
at
Ramsbottom.
Yeah.
23rd of March,
yes. 1999. Had their own chauffeur.
Yeah, we're telling us about the doctor's chauffeur, weren't you? We were talking about. Last time you were talking about
the doctors having a chauffeur.
Yeah, well...
We talked about your dad collecting help last time, and you told us...
Well, he'd long spells of unemployment. He'd been a prisoner in the First World War, and he had a lot of energy for looking after his family, you might say. There were three children. We lived with my mother's parents, and he was a ganger on the railway, yeah. Jack Barton. And he was a good digger, a good ganger for it. It level lines and drainage of the track and so on. And it's TNT, isn't it now, that the old square works.
Yes.
The TNT. Well, that was a bleach works. My first job was there, in the croft. But they had their own loading bay, and there was a branch line from the goods section of Ramsbottom Station. It went round almost a semicircle down into the works, and they never got it. Well, I should say, well, they had a little engine to pull the trucks, known as Little Billy, and it was always coming off the line. Until they got my grandfather. And he sorted it in.
Yeah.
That's about all I know about him. Huh? Except he was a fair drinker when he was a younger man.
Yeah.
Until he saw the light. And then he looked after his money. And when he worked 50 years on the railway. And they came from Nottingham. And I don't know why. He had a brother Ben, who was a caretaker, what have you, at the cemetery. He lived in that lodge at the cemetery.
Oh.
The Romney Cemetery. And Amos. And Amos was a foreman at Ramsbottom Paper Mill.
Amos was another brother, was he?
Amos and another brother, yes. Just the three of them. Anyway, when he died, he left... two houses, the one we lived in on Carlton Place, and the one in Springwood Street, he bought from my eldest sister when she got married, and something like between £2,000 and £3,000.
Wow.
Lots of money then.
Yes.
It was in the mid-30s.
Yeah.
He left me £300.
Nice.
He left the three of us, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that would have gone on drink, would it? Otherwise.
It would, otherwise, yeah. I know my grandmother said he had come home once with a walking stick when he was drinking and broke the pots on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a rough days, wasn't it, almost?
So what was it that put him off drinking? Was there one event that made him change?
I don't know, but he became a right socialist.
Uh-huh.
And at the bottom of Bridge Street on the left, where the police station is now, was that Gents Outfitters, Wilkinson and Lancaster. And then there was an alleyway between that and the bank. It's all one building. And the barber shop on the corner, as you went in. But down the alley, turn left, and the doctors had an office behind there. Where I've gone down, I nearly said many a time, certainly... often, with half a crown off the doctor's bill,
mm-hmm.
owing pounds, and that was before he started collecting for them. I know he was delighted when he got fixed up like that, because he'd 3 days dole and 3 days commission.
Yes.
He didn't get a wage commission on but then he walked around Shuttleworth Turn and Edenfield. And another roundabout in general.
Mm. Mm.
I know Dr. Crompton had a car and his chauffeur, Sammy Redmond, and Dr. Laurie, he had, I don't know what sort of a car, but he had a chauffeur, a coloured man.
Mm. Yes, yeah.
Have we told about this before?
Yeah, you told me that on the bus.
Yeah. Can I tell you that I got in bother shouting Black Sambo?
Yeah. Yeah.
That was, you know, on top of the street, you went to Stubbins, there's a gate out there, isn't there, in Drellin?
Yes.
And the gates are always closed now. But Dr. Compton used that.
Yeah.
He lived at the top of Carbine.
Uh-huh.
I think they're demolished now, aren't they?
I think so,
the
yeah.
new house in there.
So the gatehouse was his surgery, wasn't it? Was it the gatehouse that was his surgery?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
That quite
a bit
small.
Bulky.
Yes.
But he managed. And, well, that's where we lived, Carlton Place. That's still there. That row of ours is first on the left. And out the back there, it was only 60, 70, 80 yards up to that drive.
Yeah.
And that I remember well, I know. That was first off, like Sam. I shouldn't say, should I? I don't suppose he minded, but he was the first black man around these parts.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there was Dr. So, Broad.
How did he come to Ramsbottom? You,
this no idea. You
don't know.
No, that's all I know. He was the driver for the artillery.
Yeah. So, were there many other people who had cars in those days?
No.
Besides the doctors?
No. Yeah. I can only think of one. Things have changed. Where, can you imagine, do you remember where the New Jerusalem Church was? That split in the road going to...
That's opposite.
Opposite St. James Terrace, really.
Yes.
The Carlton Place, St.
James. Yes.
Right there.
Yeah.
Well, corner, that's Factory Street.
Corner, I'm going to say Corner Factory Street.
Going away from the road, like going down, heading for Stubbing and taking a right turn there. There was, for a start, there was a First World War tank there, and I found it was a £25 artillery gun. Mm-hmm. I think they were just dumped there for people to see.
Yeah.
Because one day they came and took them away. In fact, men came and they demolished the tank with torches.
Yeah.
And but behind there was a slope up into a building, the destructor. And this was where all the rubbish carts went, up the slope,
yeah.
into the building, and then they tipped unloaded down, where there was a couple of, or three maybe, more, there were men shoveling rubbish in.
Yeah, this was rubbish from the dust carts?
Yes.
Ah. So they burnt most of it, didn't they?
Huh?
They burnt most of it.
Oh, yeah, there'd be a lot left, wouldn't there?
Yes, yeah.
But, well, that was the method.
Oh.
Yeah.
So what's there now? Whereabouts was that? Was that near the drill hole?
No, the drill hole's further down. It turned Factory Street. Stubbins Lane out there, doesn't it?
Yes.
There. Heading for Shuttleworth, you might say.
Oh. So almost where the tip used to be up to recently.
Yes.
I mean, the tip was opposite
yes.
Carlton Terrace, wasn't it?
Yes. That's right. That's gone again, hasn't
yes.
it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Under a big building there, a big...
So did they have a big chimney, like a factory chimney, to take the...
No idea.
Smoke away.
From memory. No. That's something.
Yeah.
And a wooden structure there, rather big wooden structure. A fellow called Harry did boil sweets there. Harry Howard, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a business.
He made toffees there?
Yes. But he was known as Toffee Harry.
Yeah. And where did he sell those?
Well, on Ramy Market for sure.
Uh-huh.
That was certainly Friday night. Probably Saturday. There's no electric, like they're all flares, you know.
Yeah. Where was the market held then? Was it in the marketplace? Yeah.
Where the gardens are now. Where that burn is.
Right. Yes.
So but it was just a cold area up to the Grand Times.
Yeah.
And up to the Conservative Club.
Yeah. That was on Fridays.
And
the market was on Fridays, was it? Did you say?
Friday night?
Yes.
It could have been Thursday and Friday.
Yeah.
But there were regular people there. Firstly, I was one. I always had fishing through Ramsbottom, man. I don't know what happened to him, but he, I bumped into him in Sicily.
Really?
Yeah. He's a much older man than me.
Yeah.
I bumped into him in Scotland, I remember it, before I went abroad. Yeah. But he was in the same company, but a different platoon. Yeah. So we didn't meet often.
He sold fish, did he say?
He sold what?
Fish.
He sold fishing,
fish.
Fishing for, yeah.
Yes.
My mother was a regular customer. Ah. Yeah, Percy. He was a lot older than me. Because I would be 23 then. He could have been his early 30s or middle 30s.
Hmm.
Yeah.
So how many stalls would there be on the market? Quite small.
Small,
yes.
And another sweet stall, not Howard, not Terry's. I don't know. No. Some foreigners came. Foreigners, it could have been foreigners from Derry in those days.
Yeah.
But no, I can't remember much of the market. But
would they have to move the stalls away afterwards?
Yes, they were cleared.
So they were only, yeah. So it was on. Was it during the day on Friday as well as Friday night?
Well, I think possibly Thursday as well.
Yeah.
But I think they were mostly Thursday. So if it was Thursday, it would be only daytime. Whereas Friday and Saturday, they were late. And I remember always, people I know had to go with that walk. Up and down the street and on the market. There was a lot of people about. And it was well lit with these flaring things, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They were run by what? Gas or paraffin?
Well, I'm tempted to say those chilly lights.
Oh, yes.
But
without a mantle.
I don't know about that.
Yeah.
Whether they were in existence then.
Mm.
But they could just have been lamps, couldn't they?
Yes.
But so
it was a flame, a big flame on it?
I have an impression that there was a forced flame somewhere.
Right.
Yeah.
So, did your mother do most of the shopping?
Oh, yeah.
On the market?
And
local shops.
Anderson Stores in Bridge Street.
Yeah.
That's a dentist now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on the corner, just across the square street from the post office.
Yes.
There were Matthew Smith, I think, or Ted somebody. There were three men partners. In that business,
the
Anderson Stores, it was a counter on each side. Mm. And Ted Whittaker, he lived in Aslinden, because Ernest Barcroft drove their lorry, full time job delivering their orders.
Yeah.
And I used to go with him. I like to go out ride around with him, you know.
Yes.
That's how I know a bit about it. Because Thursday night was his late night, and he used to do Haslinden and back along Top Road till about 8 o'clock. And I think on Mondays or one day, he did the farm on Churton Road, Tottington Way.
Yeah.
And that will be Tuesday probably, because I think Matthew. He was the office man. There's only two partners worked in the shop. And I think it was called Matthew's. First or second names, I'm not sure. But he went for the orders. He went booking the orders.
Oh, so someone would drive round to take your order.
And then, pardon?
He drove round to the houses and farms.
He might have gone by bus and walked it.
Oh.
That wouldn't be remarkable in those days.
No.
But then he'd bring the orders in, the two young fellas upstairs, because on the farming area, the bags were brilliant and corn and whatnot too.
Oh,
so it was a fair
something animal food as well.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Yeah. And of course, the other, well, the post office is now, I think that was Charlie Oldham's hardware outfitters. He always had step ladders, pots, pans, everything you can think of, out on the pavement.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then a big event there, maybe next door, Duckworth's. The chain store people of Rochdale opened a branch and special offers, and what was a big deal in Ramsbottom.
What did they sell?
Groceries.
Groceries.
Yeah. But they didn't, I don't know what happened to them. Lots of things changed during the war, didn't they?
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot about the shops in Bridge Street.
Were any shoemakers down there, cloggers?
No, there was, in the same block, there was Hewitt's shoe shop. I think it is a shoe shop still. There's been something else in between, but it's still a shoe shop. Double fronted, very nice. Alfie Hewitt, the son of the family, and I never saw him after the war. But, and then lower down, in across from St. Paul's, there was another shoe shop. But on the corner there, there was Cotterill's, pork butcher. And it was double fronted. It's a do-it-yourself shop now. It's a good shop, but they were well known for Cotterill's pies.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good firm.
So did they baked the pies on the premises?
They did.
Yeah.
And
from their own meat.
They'd bring a tray in out to the back part, and they'd have gravy in a jug, and they pour gravy into each pie.
Mm.
And they were good pies. I don't know. Nothing else very important, just usual news agents and so on. Oh, there's a pub there, Swan Hotel, and the Old Palace Hall.
Where was the Swan Hotel?
It's not there now.
No.
Oh, it got closed many years ago.
That was on Bridge Street?
Yes, in the bottom block on the right.
Before you get to the railway?
Yes.
Sorry, the railway pub.
Yeah. Well, there's another. The betting shop across from the railway, side of the railway hotel.
Yes.
That was a pub.
Was it?
That's railway, that was station. And then, along railway bottom there, the next building was a pub. It might have been the Wellington.
That's the one opposite the entrance to the railway station.
About.
Yes.
Let's further along.
Is that the one that's now a do-it-yourself shop or a hardware shop?
It's probably that place.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go in pubs in those days?
No. Not till I was about 15. Yeah. We used to go. There was a wine shop in Bolton Street, David Greenwood. And, it's in the other room, isn't it? About 40 or 7 of us.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
We used to go in.
Yeah.
In David Greenwood, in his cellar. And that was from Bolton Street, I think, 2 flights down to the back there.
Uh-huh.
But he used to feed us with beer down there. But now I've mentioned David Greenwood. We had a discussion once about when my grandmother went to Canada, didn't we?
Yes.
Do you remember?
Yes.
And, she died. Well, we it taught about I thought that's Hillary's belt.
Oh right. The belt from Hillary Brothers Limited, contractors and monumental masons.
Yes.
Every description of masonry for building purposes, engine beds, girder beds, blocking, etc. Range setting, draining, and general repairs to property promptly attended to. Stubbins Lane, Ramsbottom. May 20th, 1929.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A fair price for Greystone, wasn't it?
£70, yes. To Mr. J. Barton, Carlton Place, Ramsbottom. Dear sir, we beg to confirm our quotation of £70 net for all polished ebony black granite memorial as per our design number 19.
Yeah.
The above price includes the following for the following: headings and inscription, rockery and marble, diamond to cover grave space, copper hooks and ice to secure the curbs together, church fees, set of stone curbs under all granite, brick foundation, and to be fixed complete at Stubbins Church.
It's still there.
Thanking you for your favour and assuring me of our first class job. Most faithfully, L. Hillary.
What I had
Stubbins Congregation.
For Davy Greenwood receipt. A letter from Davy Greenwood offering of a cabin berth on the SS Melita sailing to Canada on such a date, and she had to notify him very quickly. Now we've got that somewhere.
Yeah.
I thought it was with that.
Yeah.
But
that's interesting, isn't it? Residences 13, 17 and 19 First Street, Beale Brown. Must have all lived almost. There's three directors.
Oh yes.
S. Hillary, G. Hillary and L. Hillary.
Yeah.
All living in First Street, Beale Brown.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were going up to not to too long ago, I don't think, were they?
They were any interest in the society.
Oh, I'm sure they'd like to have that, yes. Yes. Shall I pass it on to them?
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
They've been stood in this house long enough, haven't they?
Yeah. Thank you, yeah. Well done. So your grandmother went to Canada, is that what you're saying?
She went to visit her daughter in Canada.
Yes.
Daughter Ada, yes.
When would that be?
Well, she died then, you see. It would be in the early 20s.
Yeah, so this was...
Because he married a Canadian... She married a Canadian soldier.
Yeah. And so she died in 1929.
Yes.
So, sometime in the early 20s probably, when she went to...
Well, yes.
Canada.
Between the end of the war and that.
Yes.
I'm sure about 10 years. However, I turned it up, the other piece. I'll let you have it.
Yes.
Because her fare was on. I think it was about £30.
Really?
Yeah.
Good heavens.
I know where she went. 84 Pearson Avenue, Toronto.
Yes?
Yeah. Isn't that funny, remembering that?
Yeah. How long did she go for?
Oh, a few weeks, maybe a couple of months or so.
Yeah.
And to stay with her daughter. And her daughter came, I remember coming to Ramsbottom for a short spell. Came like home from Canada. And then went back, of course. So I have relatives in Canada.
Mm.
Her children were... Her husband's called George Youd, Y-O-U-D.
Yeah.
And her children were John, Ada, like her mother, and Yvonne. That was at some name in those days, Yvonne, wasn't it?
Yes.
Is it French, well, under?
Probably, I don't know. I have a sister called Yvonne.
You do?
Yes.
You do? Nice name.
Yes.
Very feminine, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't suppose there'd be many people from Ramsbottom having gone to Canada in those days?
No,
they?
No, no.
Did they put it in the local paper? Was it?
I've no idea.
Was it newsworthy?
Oh, it was in the very time when my grandfather retired.
Yes.
He stayed on a little, maybe a few months, after 65, to complete 50 years.
Yes.
Why this family came from Nottingham, I don't know. But there was a lot of labouring movement in those days, road making and canal digging and all that sort of thing, wasn't there?
Yes.
But I know he wasn't an abbot.
No.
Neither were his brothers.
No.
Well, he must have been something of a gardener to be running
the cemetery,
yes.
Yeah.
In those days. And Amos, well, he was something of a foreman of the blacksmith. I've no idea whether he was a trained engineer or anything, but he must have had his head screwed on, mustn't he? There's another brother too, George.
What do you mean by the blacksmith?
Oh, that was the mechanics.
Yeah, in a mill.
Yes.
Looking, yeah.
You don't know.
Well, I wasn't quite sure.
But another brother, George, who went to America, and he prospered.
Yes.
He was a mill owner somewhere in America.
Wow.
And I know nothing more about him. Yeah. But they bestowed my name, his name on me, I'm called George Barton Kay.
Ah.
It doesn't make any difference, does it?
Not really.
But that's where he got the Barton from. Well, my grandfather, too.
Yes.
But he was always spoken of with great respect, George, who went to America and prospered. Because he took some method of dying, I think. He worked at Turnbull's.
Oh, did he?
Left there and went to America. Oh. And he must have known something about cloth processing, mustn't he?
Mm. Yes.
So he packed his bag and went. Big moves, eh?
Yes, it would be enough. Yeah, yeah. A bit like going to the moon these days, I suppose.
Yeah.
Major upheaval. So did he get a job with a textile company over there, presumably?
Well, from the way I'm very vague about it, except how well off he was. We had a picture somewhere of his house and wife and daughter. But goodness knows where. But my impression was that he was the main man. Wherever he worked, that he was the man.
Mm.
He could have been employed, but he must have been in a superior position.
Yeah.
I've always thought he took some method of manufacturing or printing. See, there were block printers, weren't there, at Turnbull's?
Yes.
That's a dying art, all right, isn't it?
Right, it is, yeah.
And I don't know if he's a block printer or not, but he went there, all right.
Yes.
So that's the Barton side of my family.
So was he involved in, this chap, was he involved in textiles before he came to this area, or was it something he picked up whilst he was here? He wouldn't be involved in textiles in Nottingham, would he?
Oh no,
no.
He worked at Turnbull's.
Yes.
I don't know when they came.
No.
Or how long they've been here.
Yeah.
But they must have been here some time because my grandfather worked 50 years on the local railway.
Right, of course, yeah.
And he retired in 1920 something.
Right.
So he must have been something like 18. The very, when the line had been laid.
That's right, yeah.
Very soon after.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose it was a time where a lot of people were moving into this area then, wasn't it? From other parts of the country where...
Yeah. He was a little fella, your grandfather, and I was told he could get over the railway line at one end and lift it off the ground. But that's all. He couldn't put it up there or anything,
no.
But he could move it. And I don't know what they weigh, but it must be fair of him, mustn't it?
Yes.
He was that build.
Yeah.
He must have stopped drinking before he did that.
So, well, you didn't tell me where the swan was, did you? You didn't. Did you finish telling me where the swan was? What was the pub where? The pub in Bridge Street.
Yes.
You said there was a pub called the Swan.
That's right.
Yeah.
It would be. Across from just about where the police station is now.
Across the road from there?
Yeah, just about.
In the middle of those shops?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, but of course there's the old fellas all, do you know that? You see, there's a small ballroom up there.
Just one staircase going up.
Yes. But there wasn't, that was different. I don't know anything about that apart from that, well, it's just a meeting place, wasn't it? For community purposes.
Yes.
Of course, the post office was down there then.
Was it? Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Is it the Pentecostal mission now?
Oh, yes.
Just about there?
Yes, almost on the railway crossing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was the post office, wasn't it?
You know,
one of those used to, I think the buildings that the Pentecost have now, is it made up of two buildings or three? I think one of them
was one of them a
butcher's shop or something like that. I did some work there a couple of years
ago. There was Joe Mercer's wine bar.
Oh, was that?
Wine bar? Tonics and homemade.
Right.
Yeah. I suppose cigarettes and sweets too.
Yeah.
But Joe Mercer, yes.
So herbalist, really.
That sort of thing, yes. Yes.
Did you go in there
for
a drink? I mean, was it used as a sort of meeting place?
Could be, children got in.
Yeah.
Ice cream too, I think. Yeah.
The last one of those kind of shops is in Rottenstall, isn't it?
Yeah, still there.
Yeah, Kirkpatrick's in Rottenstall.
Yeah. I worked with a fellow up there. Harry Dean, we're still friends, he used to nip in there for what he called a draft. One of the man made, a quick tonic.
Yes.
Down in the way.
Yeah.
The customary, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, they were pretty widespread with us.
Yes.
I don't know whether they were widespread all over the country, but they were around here, weren't they?
Yeah.
I remember about three of them in Bury. There was one.
Yeah, it will be.
There was one on Union Square.
Yeah.
Called Evans.
Yeah.
On Union Square. And there was one up the rock.
Yeah.
Near the fire station.
Yes.
That I think was I forgot what this is called. A chap who used to be the mayor of Bury.
Yeah.
Had one up there, and I think there was one on Croston Road.
Somewhere near
the Dusty Miller.
I think they were knowledgeable men for those days.
Yes.
Don't you?
Yes. Yeah.
You'd consult one of them, say, go and do it, wouldn't you?
That's right, yeah. But they'd have tables inside, almost a bit like a pub.
Yeah.
And even hand pumps, hadn't they? Some of them had, some of the drinks came from a barrel.
Yeah.
So they pump it out, it looked like a pub, but it was only sarsaparilla and dandelion and burdock and things like that, wouldn't it?
You know, my co-op used to be in a fairway in Bolton Street. It was fancy goods and shoe shop and the furniture part, which had an upstairs.
Yes.
And the shoe shop, there could have been two men working upstairs, putting iron on plugs.
Yeah.
And repairing shoes.
Uh-huh.
You never had a pair of clogs shod, did you?
Oh, I still wear clogs. I still have them, yeah.
Do you have irons on?
Yes.
Do you really?
Yeah, he was in for dancing.
Clog dancing?
Yeah.
Wow. I didn't know. And are they, there used to be a little cobbler's shop, but just down where you went in the coal yard, across from petrol station, going down Stubbins there. Bobby was called. He up three steps into this, the foyer in his counter here, and he sat here on that bench, stool, year after year. I've seen him near a block of wood, two blocks, just like an oblong, and his knives on long handles with a blade at the bottom, and he could roll the block of wood, and it would move on its support at the top, so he could use two arms on this.
Yeah.
And he'd carve it out. The toe, shape, heel, and then the bottom was locked. And, he cut a groove all the way around there. And the leather upper would fit in the groove, and he nailed it all on with brass bales. And I don't know what he did about putting the iron shods on, but they fit, and they were nailed on. And I'm thinking that I'm wondering if he bored the holes first, because he had little wooden pegs to put in the holes.
Yeah.
That will be reshodding, wouldn't
it? That's right, yeah. Once the old irons have been taken off.
Yes, yes. The wool will be such that it wouldn't split, would it, with a new sole?
No.
No, that old T-board holding.
No,
Once
the old irons have been taken off, they fill the old nail holes with these little wooden pegs.
But they do that. A professional job.
Yes.
It's a highly skilled one.
Yes, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very good value for money. They cost it. Guess how much they cost now for a pair of smart clogs?
A few pounds, I would think.
70 odd pounds,
Where did you go for those?
Well, the ones I use, I've had for, best part of 30 years.
Oh, yeah.
And they cost about £4 a pair when I bought those.
Yeah.
But I used to have them made at I've got three pairs that I use, and they were made by a man at Walter Foote.
Well,
Mr. Crawshaw.
Up till recently, there was such a man in Ronsall.
Yeah.
The street down from the post office. No, they moved the post office, haven't they? It's the street that goes down from Market Street, right down to Bacup Road, and his shop was on the corner there.
Yes.
And he was a clogger.
Yeah.
And I think he's finished, because I think he was in the Free Press some time ago, the end of a tradition, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
But he was a proper, he could make clogs.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this man, Mr. Crawshaw, in Walter Foote, he took over the business from his father.
Yeah.
He retired, stopped making clogs, probably 12, at least 12 years, might even be 15 where time flies. So we've had difficulty in recent years getting them repaired or whatever.
Yeah.
But only last year there's another, I don't know how old he is, he's called Chris Ashworth, and he's opened up in, I think it's in Stagsteads,
yeah.
A shop. He's the one who's charging about £70 and £80 a pair for them. And that's regardless of whether they're working clogs or fancy clogs.
Yeah.
You know, the ones we use have a pattern. They have a pattern cut into the leather.
Yeah.
Fancy design to make them look a bit special. And you have a long tongue that comes right over the laces. Plenty of eyelets in, to make them look a bit fancy.
Shall we have a brew?
Yeah, shall I put
all you need to do is put kettle on. There's two cups there with a tea bag.
Right. So you said you remembered the coconut dancers on Good Friday, you said?
Yeah, my impression is they came up from Stubbins way.
Yes.
And they used to dance round about the New Jerusalem Church there.
Oh, did they? Yeah.
And at the top of the street, of course.
In Ramsbottom, yes. And did they go, do you remember them going up Oaken Hill, or?
I don't remember them after that, no.
No.
No. No one knew very little about them.
So
it's not that I've seen them there.
Yeah, and what did they look like? Can you remember that?
Well, I think they had clogs, I think, didn't they?
Yes.
Some sort of clogs. Well, they had knee breeches.
Yes.
Yeah. Ah. Yeah. And waving the like tassels, where short stick with ribbons.
Oh.
Short ribbons, I think.
Right, yeah.
All in at the dance, they all came up together.
Yes.
And then they went dancing around to a set pattern.
Yes.
Yes.
Did they do different kinds of dances, do you remember?
I think so.
Yes.
I do think so.
Yeah.
But, I can see them now, like, dancing. Yeah, and moving about, round and moving inwards and out again. That's the style, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What kind of music did they dance to? Can you remember that?
I have no idea.
What were the musicians playing?
I don't know whether they had any music. Well, they have some music.
Oh, probably.
Well, yes, probably.
Yeah.
But if it was, it was something like a concertina.
Ah, yes.
A bit vague about it, aren't I?
Yeah.
But I did. What I've said is true.
Yeah. And what about what year do you think that would be?
Here again, certainly. The earlier 30s, I would think.
Yes.
Because I don't remember them when the war was approaching.
No.
I think things started dying off and changing before the war started. In fact, we should have gone to war a year before we did, shouldn't we? But we were nowhere prepared.
No.
So I think the bit of diplomacy and we stood back when Italy went into Czechoslovakia, didn't we? We didn't put our foot down then with France. They bought a year's time one way or another.
Yeah.
And people got busy on armaments and one thing or another in that last year. 1938 to 39, wasn't it?
Yeah. You were talking about brass bands on Whit Friday.
Yeah.
What were you telling me about that?
Well, each school had its own band. There were lots of brass bands in Ramsbottom that day. And, you could stand in Bridge Street or Bolton Street, more prominent there, and have a morning's entertainment. And, I wouldn't be there. I was in Adlington band at that time. Well, it was Adlington who went on the wireless. And we played for Park Chapel. Barchapel, Top Road there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they had their own band then. And so I wasn't in Rounds. I don't think we came to Rounds Bottom. But I was in the Rifle Band before that. Rounds Bottom Rifle Band. Have you ever heard of those?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they were like, I wouldn't say poor relations, but they weren't set up like Aslinger Band or Stubbins Band.
No.
The Stubbins were under the patronage of Porritt family, and they were smart.
Yes.
And they had their own band room, which was the Strong's Try.
Yeah.
And St. Paul's choir master, Billy Hansen, he was also the band master.
Was he?
Choir master and band master.
Yeah.
A combination there, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But they were a good musician.
When you say Park Chapel had their own band, do you mean?
The employed one for the day.
Just for the day, yes.
Employed
right. Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But I think on the Sunday, we always played at Accrington. Now, that was a big procession. It's five bands.
Uh-huh.
So that was a Roman Catholic procession
in
Accrington.